Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, this beautiful Monday morning. I don't know about you, but I had an awesome weekend, got a lot of stuff accomplished. And as I started into this chapter, I just had to laugh because it's amazing to me how God works. And, you know, I just can't think of another way to put it, because last week, for any of you that actually follow the life and times of, or the saga of Troy Dooley's life, you know that we were hit with a cease and desist order from a company because of stuff that we had blogged on, and it was just a crazy week. I found it humorous that you go through these battles, you go through these trials sometimes, and you got to look at, man, am I doing the right thing? Do I hold firm? Do I change direction? You know, am I going up the wrong course? And then I settle down, get a cup of coffee, and get ready to read, and it just blows my mind, because here we are in this book of Dondi. And what do you know but the chapter that we're looking at today is growing through adversity. Watch for hope to spring forth during the winter of adversity. And I thought, man, how sweet is that? You know, here we are all weekend long. I'm pulling documentation and getting it to my MLM attorney, and he's drafting a letter back to this company's attorney. And I thought, man, this is great. You know, this is perfect. And Dondi writes in her book, she's a masterful person. God has given her a talent with the way she writes. And over the last few months, as we've gotten to know her so closely through her writings and talking to her, and she's a close friend on Facebook and somebody that I look at as a mentor, it just amazes me how this young lady walks her talk. It isn't, let's write it in a book and then go live our life a different way. She's about as authentic and transparent as you can get. Which is one of the reasons I call her the female version of John Maxwell. I just can't think of a better analogy. But she writes, at the beginning of this book, I ask if hope is an action or a discipline. Is it faith or is it science? And you know, as we've gone through this, we're in chapter 20 now, I've come to realize what she was getting at. Because hope is all of these things. You know, when I got the cease and desist letter, the first thing I do is go get a cup of coffee. That's just the way I am. And I sat back and I read it a few times and said, you know, Lord, you put us in this position to help people, not for our own agenda, not to try, because one of the things they purport in the letter is that we're trying to recruit people into other companies. I said, Lord, it's to give the average, everyday person a place to come and find out information. Lord knows we can't cover all the companies out there because there's so many of them that just pop up overnight. But when we see one that's hurting people, then we try to announce it. When we see one that's great and helping people, we announce it. We do the reviews. And I thought, Lord, it's just like Dondi puts in here, hope. Hope isn't just faith. It's not just science. Hope isn't just an action. And it's not just a discipline. Hope is all those things put together. See, hope is not sometimes that what you see people say, and you'll hear them say, oh, I hope things change. Oh, I hope this works out. Hope, hope. It's not that. It's action. It's discipline. It's having faith in what you can't see yet and understanding the science behind what you have to do in order to make it happen. And as I was reading through here, I thought, man, this is great. And one of the things Dondi writes is, in times of adversity, people look for leadership. They look for hope. You can show them both. And I thought, man, that's going in my journal. That was meant directly for me, because as we were going through this and we made it public on Friday that we had received, or Thursday, I don't remember which now, the letter, I had lots of people that came forward and said, we're with you if you need anything. And then I had one gentleman that is a very, very financially independent network marketer. It's a beautiful home. I mean, he's just a great guy. And he said, Troy, if you need a legal defense fund, you let me know. I'll be more than happy to underwrite it. I thought, man, you know. And he's written on my blog under a pseudonym, and I know who he is. And I thought, man, what a cool thing to do, because there's nothing I could give him in return. You know, he's living his life. But it's through what we do that he saw that. But then I had a different person write on the blog, and his whole concern was, oh, you know that when you get into a lawsuit that attorneys are the only ones that win. And I thought, no, this is about the principle. This is about a right that I fought for called the freedom of speech. Because, see, if I was to give in to the adversity, then all the people that have posted their frustrations and in some cases posted their praise for this company, then their freedom of speech would be squashed too, and then where would we be as a nation? And I thought, man, this is so good for me, Lord, to go through this book. And folks, this is why we do the radio shows in the morning. This is why I do my little 10-minute Troy's Morning Coffee reflection. It's not just for you. Selfishly, it's also for me because I have these same struggles. And I thought, man, Gandhi in her book writes about a captain, and I know a lot about captains. I live in a fishing community, and it says in here, there was once a passenger ship, and it was caught in a deadly storm, and as the ship was rocking back and forth and up and down, and if you've ever watched Deadliest Catch on Discovery, you know what I'm talking about, man, those waves can get high. And in a last desperate act, one of the passengers fought his way all the way through the gales and finally reached the wheelhouse. And what he saw for himself was astonishing, but the wind was raging, the ship was rolling, and he saw the captain had tied himself to the wheel and was fighting the storm. At that moment, that passenger's heart sank as he watched the captain being flipped just like the boat was. But then the captain turned to him, and all he did with a twinkle in his eye was give him a big smile from ear to ear. The passenger ran back as fast as he could to the other passengers and said, "Everything's going to be all right. I've seen the captain with my own eyes, and he's smiling." Folks, that's how it is when we go through adversity. I'm not saying that we don't have our own times of wonderment. We don't have our own times of probably negative thought or grief, frustration, anxiety. But it's knowing what's on the other side. It's knowing how we're going to get through it. See, I just snickered when I saw the letter because I thought, here's a man, an attorney, in a small law firm up in Michigan. His expertise is actually in telecommunication and HIPAA law and stuff like that, employee relations. Doesn't probably have a clue about constitutional law. Surely doesn't have a clue about network marketing law. I thought he's just trying to help his client. He can't hold it against him. That's what he gets paid to do. Lord knows, I hope he got paid in advance. So I look at it and I think, man, so many people out there, they're going through their own adversity. And I thought about these company owners. And I thought, it's got to be tough because when you start into any kind of con, and I know about a lot of cons. I've sad to say I've been business partners with some of the best cons the 20th century, I think. And they've taken people for lots of money, and they've taken corporations for millions, and they were busted and put in jail. But I saw how they operated. They operated with finesse. They operated with a talent that rivals Hollywood in acting. And then I looked at this company and I thought, this isn't the fact that these guys are overly good at what they do at conning people. But they did remind me, sad to say, of some old-fashioned televangelists that forgot where they came from. They got so wrapped up in the money that was rolling through the doors and the little red light on the camera that they forgot what their true calling was. And I thought, man, I wonder if that's what happened to these guys. What started out to just be a small business, maybe make a few $100,000, all of a sudden got away from them as the millions started rolling in, and they couldn't stop. They had to keep it going because they knew if they got caught, they'd go to prison or something. But I thought of all the little people that got wrapped up into this. Little people, I don't mean that in a negative sense. I mean just average, everyday people trying to find an answer to the financial recession that they're going through. The adversities, the heartache, the getting the lawsuits, the foreclosures, the bills, having the electricity turned off. I feel pretty blessed, folks, because I live in a community that the second most traveled destination in Florida. There's probably more millionaires that live here than normal people like us. Every day it seems like we read in the paper where there's not any affordable housing for workers and they have to come in from such long distances. That'll give you an idea of where we live. But yet I look around my neighborhood and I see the folks across the street who have had their house foreclosed on. They lost their business. Their electricity's been turned off more than it's been turned on. And I look at my neighbor next door to me and water department was out the other night and he had to give him a check or they were going to shut his water off and he's got two kids. And I thought, you know, we're all in the same boat in one facet or another. We've all gone through that terrible time, that frustration, that the time when we let greed get away from us. I find it humorous sometimes that we watch the media on TV and they talk about the adversity and how it was caused on Wall Street. And then I have to look at my neighbors and say, we don't live on Wall Street, we live on Main Street. You know, greed doesn't start at the top. Usually it starts at the bottom and somebody at the top manipulates it. Sometimes in adversity, the same thing happens. We get in the middle of adversity and because of where we're at, people manipulate us and they use that to our advantage. Matter of fact, I saw over the weekend a couple of network marketing companies that were going through some trouble. I had a guy write me an email because he thought I was with one of those companies. Actually, he thought I was with two of them because I blogged about them. And he starts off telling me how awful it was that those two companies had been run into the ground and had awful products and lack of leadership. And, oh, man, it was the most amazing email. I went over on his website and I start snickering because here's a man that isn't walking his walk. See, he sees people going through adversity and he starts talking negative, but on his website it was about attraction marketing and how you got to be positive and focus and you attract the people that you are. And so I wrote him an email back. I said, you're not walking your walk. I told him a little bit about his own company and maybe he should clean house before he started looking at the other companies. And then I got real bold, and at the end of the email, after explaining to him I'm not with any company, I said, you know, what you did is kind of like the man who's been fantasizing and lusting over a beautiful woman, and on the day of the funeral of her husband, he comes up and slides his arm around her waist and pats her butt and says, well, now that he's gone, how about you go home with me? I said, it's just about as crude what you did. See, people, when we're going through adversity, there'll be people out there that will try to take advantage of that. And sometimes all we have to hold on to, and Dondi writes this in her book, it says, sometimes faith must firmly grasp the hand of hope to steady her knees and give her strength. And we have to go through that. We've got to stand firm. You know, in Isaiah 58:11 out of the NIV version, and Dondi puts this in her book, she's such a doll. I just love the way she writes. She puts this verse in there, the Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. He will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. I don't care if you're going through a time right now where your business has been dry and you're barely making it. You're into the savings. I don't care if you're going through a financial struggle. Where you, like I did, I had a credit card company sue me because it was a business card and that business has gone under. Doesn't matter what you're going through. Every one of us is in the same boat in one way or the other. But I'm going to tell you this. And Dondi, most of the stuff we do on the radio show, it comes off the top. Lord gives that to me. But there's some things that Dondi writes in here. I got to tell you, this is great. It says, if you had dared to dream a big dream and things have not worked out the way you've planned, don't be tempted to give up or give in. It may seem easier to revert to the old story when the new one is harder to write than you believe. Listen, folks, you don't turn away from your dream. If it's a God-given dream and it's deeply planted in your heart and you've got a burning passion for it, then even in the struggle of adversity, you keep going forward. That's where the true nature and your true character is going to come out. See, that's the key. In this chapter, Dondi writes, our storms will test us and our goals will stretch us. I thought, wow, man, there's another good one I got right down in my journal. You know, the goals are where we stretch beyond our comfort zone, but it's those storms. When we make it through there, and man, I've lived through some storms. I know what hurricanes are like. I live on an island. But this is like iron sharpening iron. This is like the blacksmith when he's making the swords. He's tampering that steel down and he's making sure it's tight. I thought, man, this is what she's talking about. But she put some things in here, and I want you to get out a pen and paper. This is important. Because this is stuff that we just have to be able to focus on. Number one, you've got to acknowledge what you're going through and what you're feeling. Man, I can't tell you that enough. One of the things that it just burns my hide is all these metaphysical, yippee-yummy, New Age people, and yes, I'm being a little bit dogmatic, but when they run around and all they say is think about positive things or you're going to attract the negative to you. Listen, you better be realistic enough to know that you're walking through crap when you're walking through crap. It isn't always going to be peaches and cream. There's going to be days when you're going to pick up something and you're going to think, man, that looks like chocolate and it's going to be cow dung. You have got to realize that. You've got to write down what you're going through. You've got to write down your emotions. You don't dwell on them, but you admit them. And you realize, I don't like this. I want to get out of this. You change your physiology. You focus on the outcome and you move forward. Number two. Take extra care of yourself, for adversity requires strength. Now listen, this is important. Since the first of the year, man, we've been going through all kinds of stuff. Paige has had deadlines. She's had to ask for the first time in her life an extension on one of her book deadlines. We've got the babies, we've got the boys, we got taxes, we got financial, we got everything everybody else does. Some things we've got more of. I don't know about you, but man, I got a homeowner's insurance bill that's over $4,000. I got to come up with that. That's what happens when you live on an island. So not all the time. Just because you see these lifestyle pictures out there on the internet, folks, don't think that it's all peaches and cream either, because you got to pay for that stuff. But I knew I was going to have to make some changes if I was going to handle all this stuff. I knew we were going to be before some judges this year in some different issues. I knew I was going to be before some CEOs in some issues. I knew we're going to be up late and up early writing on the blog and taking care of things. So I decided I was going to go out there and I was going to get right. And we've had a daily physical regimen. And I'm proud to share this with you. I'm going to share the victories and I'm going to share the failures. I'll tell you that on this radio show. But one of the things I did was I started January of 2010 weighing 224 pounds. Had a body mass index of 31.36, and for you that don't understand that, that's the same thing as saying I was obese. Thank goodness my wife didn't think so. But I set a goal that by March 4th, I wanted to be at 211 pounds, and by the end of the year, I wanted to be down to 165, the weight I weighed whenever I married her. Let me tell you something. It's now February 1st. And I already almost hit the first goal a month in advance. I now weigh 211.98 pounds. That's what happens when you're focused. Folks, when you're going through adversity, you got to focus. You got to take extra care of yourself because you're going to need that strength. You need your health. Third thing I want you to think about is reach out for support and surround yourself with your own warriors. There's a movie. It's a fun movie. It's not a serious movie. It's not even an epic adventure, although if I was living it, it would be. And it's called XXX, State of the Union. And there's a line in that movie that basically says, wars, they come and go, but my warriors last forever. Now, I got to admit, that came from a rap song by Tupac, and he's dead. But when I listened to those words, I wrote them down one day because I thought, you know what? That's what we teach. That's what John Maxwell teaches with the inner circle. See, the wars are going to come and go. The battles are going to be fought and lost. But that true support team that you have, that inner circle, those core warriors with you, they'll last forever. Personally, I believe just having Jesus Christ on my side and walking in the Holy Spirit makes a big difference compared to most of my guys and gals I got to go up against in a warrior battle situation. This is what makes the difference, folks. You need a tight inner circle. You don't need a bunch of dull, negative, disillusioned crybabies. You need realists. You need some critics. You need some cynics. You want people that are going to see it from every angle. But you want people that have that same diehard that you do. There's a good old war movie once, and I've watched it probably a million times, called Kelly's Heroes. It was an all-star cast. They were going to go behind the German lines and bring out the gold. And in that movie, you saw every type of personality. You saw the ones that didn't think they could be beaten, the ones that they didn't think they could win. And at the end, the ones that didn't think they could win were either dead or never got to the gold. It was the other few that got there. And the fun thing is, they even split it with the one German officer that was guarding it once he realized what he was guarding. This is what life's about. You got to be ready for that stuff. You know, there's a movie, and I'm just talking about movies today because I want to give you guys something that's fun. You know, if you want to find some really good stuff, you can do that. But a few years ago, Paige wrote a book called Sweet Home Alabama, and then a movie came out by that title, and we thought it was funny because they really go hand in hand. Although the storylines are completely different, the outcome's the same. But if you just want a good movie, you just want a good movie where a couple can sit down, eat some popcorn, and love each other, I challenge you to go rent Sweet Home Alabama. Because it's got so many great lines in it about going through adversity, what happens when you lie, what happens when you've got one true love. And folks, that's what this is about when you're going through adversity. Reaching out for the support around you, knowing you've got somebody there. After 22 years of marriage and being married to a husband that has gone through just about everything a person can go through legally and come out on the other side, Paige never worries anymore when I get a letter in the mail, certified or not, from an attorney. And it's because even at a young age, I learned that you can make it through to the other side. It might look like winter and storms right now, but spring's around the corner. Summer will be just a few months away. And folks, from my own actions, I've been charged with just about anything you can think of. From assault with a deadly weapon with the intent to kill, to attempted vehicular homicide, to bankruptcy, to partnership disputes, you name it. And I'm not saying this to say, well, look at me. There were some really asinine things I did when I was younger. But I'm saying it's through that adversity that I became stronger. I remember on my birthday in 1992 being served with papers from my mom and dad who had decided they didn't think that Paige and I were fit parents to raise our own kids. And they were suing us to gain custody of my boys. Not all my kids, just my two older boys. It was humorous at the time. Actually, at the time, it was really frustrating and it angered me. Now it's humorous. And Mom and Dad find it funny, too. They don't know what they were thinking. Folks, what doesn't kill you is going to make you stronger. And the last thing that I want you to think about is renew your notes, review your notes on change. Focus on the pieces that you can impact, that you can change. That's what you want to focus on. And the stuff that you can't change, the stuff that's out of your control, the stuff that you're scared the doggone death about because you can't control it, man, turn that over to God. Now, that's a generic statement. I want you to know that. Just turn it over to God. And my next statement isn't for everybody on this call. It's only for those people. that have given their full life over to Jesus Christ. For you folks, you don't turn it over to God. You leave it at the cross. And you get up and you walk away. And you focus on the things that He's given you that you can control. You rely on the Holy Spirit to help you walk through it. You pray for the right core inner circle. You pray for the right attorney. Thank goodness I got a wonderful Christian attorney. Whatever it is you got to do, that's what you do. And if some of you get turned off by the way I talk on this radio show, it's probably not the type of radio show for you anyway. But you know, thank goodness we have the freedom of speech and the freedom of religion and the freedom of love, because that's what I want to do. I just want to share from my heart to people that need what I have to say, which I know is not for the masses. But see, when you just leave the stuff behind and you don't try to be fearful or worried about what you can't control, I'm telling you, the Lord already knows the outcome. He already knows what it's going to do. He already knows the strength you're going through. And beyond popular belief, the Lord really does like to see us struggle. He loves to see us just look like a caterpillar coming out of the cocoon, fluttering our wings and stretching and pushing and pulling and getting the strength in them. He loves watching us look like little eaglets as our mom and dad kick us out of the nest and let us fall. Flapping those wings, building strength as He comes down and scoops us back up and says, "It's going to be okay, guys. It's going to be okay." A little bit later, we're kicked out of that nest again, and we're falling, and swoops back down. It's going to be all right. I noticed you got a little bit of air under the wing that time. That's all right. It may take 100 times, but all of a sudden, those wings start to work, and we start to fly, and we're stronger. And the next thing you know, we're kicking those eaglets out of the nest, and we're picking them up. Folks, it doesn't matter what adversity you're going through. It doesn't matter today if life looks like it's at the end of the road. It's not. There is light at the end of the tunnel, and it is not a train. And if you need some support, man, give me a call. I'm always open to just listen and help. I was at Home Depot this morning, guy going through some struggles, just stopped me right in the aisle. I have never met him in my life. For all I know, it could have been an angel from the Lord. Except he was doped up pretty bad, and that probably wasn't it, but he just needed somebody to talk to. His wife had a miscarriage. She was on her way back to Connecticut. Somebody broke into his truck last night. He went to get his stuff from a home that he'd been evicted in, and they'd already moved it. The boy's just down on his luck, needed somebody that he could vent to, and I listened to it all. And from the bruises on his body, he probably had been beat half senseless sometime last night, didn't even realize it. But this is what it takes. So I want you to journal today. We got about a minute left. Write down who the captains are in your life and how they inspire you with confidence when you're going through these adversities. Write down how the adversity has created some hope in your life, changed the way you've been thinking. But also write down if you caught yourself recycling the pain and the frustration and the hurt because you haven't let it go. And if you're in the storm, write down what pieces you really don't control. Because those are the ones that aren't going to matter. Focus on what you can control. Just give the rest of it to the Lord. Leave it at the cross. Folks, I love doing these radio shows. Tomorrow we're going to talk about pulling competency. Competency is the decision to take the path of least resistance. Or complacency. Pulling complacency, rather. Complacency is the decision to take the path of least resistance. We're going to talk about pulling that out of your life. We're going to talk about moving on. We're going to talk about stretching yourself beyond what you even thought you could do. Because at the end of the day, that's exactly what you have to do to make it to the next level. If you're in the same place you were 5 years ago and it's frustrating you, hang out with us on these calls, listen to some of the other radio shows, look at what we've got on the blogs, call us personally, because I guarantee you we've got a plan. We can show you where you need to go. Folks, live life like it's an epic adventure. And we'll see you back here tomorrow morning, Radio for Your Mind. Bye now.